Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News. It is Tuesday. I am Paul Machen. I am joined from afar in, you know, person, but not in my heart, by Ross Chandley for this one. Hi, Ross.
I needed that boost today. Thanks, Paul.
Mate, I think we're all reaching that point. Yeah, I spoke to Tom this morning. I think everyone's in dire need of a cuddle at the moment, but I can't do that, obviously. So, you know, a nice digital cuddle. Right, okay. We're going to crack on with some of the big news stories around Liverpool Football Club today. But let you know, first and foremost, this show is brought to you in association with Beer 52, the craft beer discovery club. We're offering, thanks to them, a free case of 8 craft beers and a snack for just £4.95 postage. And right now, Red Men TV and Red Men News listeners and viewers are getting 2 free beers. That's 2. Count them. 1, 2, in addition to the wonderful box that they send full of beers as well. This is a world where we can't really go out for legitimately just to get beer, but you can legitimately have it delivered to your front door. Beer 52 are the world's most popular craft beer discovery club, and every month send a new theme. You can leave it any time. Simply go to beer52.com/redmen, R-E-D-M-E-N, to claim your first case free. And don't forget right now, of course, you get those 2 extra free beers. Like this, for example. This is Evocation Brewery Unfiltered Dirty Pilsner, which is a 6.5% craft lager. My days. It feels like it might be that kind of day, if I'm being perfectly honest. And this is a Hawkshead Dry Stone Stout. There's loads of mad, cool and interesting stuff. You know, if you're just into your bog standard supermarket, you know, lagers and what have you, then maybe it's not for you. But I prefer to have a small number of really nice and interesting beers. So Beer 52, that's a fantastic offer. So highly recommend that you go and get involved. Beer52.com/redmen to pick up that offer. Ross, let's start then. King Kenny, a little message from him on the Liverpool website. Thank you for all of your well wishes of the last few days. Obviously, he was diagnosed with coronavirus, but he's also been suffering from an infection, which he was being treated for as well. I'm delighted to be back home with the family after receiving brilliant care from the NHS, which we appreciate now more than ever. Marina and I would like to express our immense gratitude to the medical staff who cared for me and who continues to treat countless others throughout the country during an incredibly challenging period. I know the sun is shining for many of you, but I urge you to stay home and follow government guidelines to the letter. It's undoubtedly the best way that we can look after one another at this time. We will now be in full lockdown for the recommended amount of time to protect the lives of others. Look, first and foremost, we covered the news last week that Kenny had it. We found out in the middle of the quiz on Friday night. The best thing as far as the Liverpool fans go, of course, an absolute legend, knight of the realm, that Kenny is absolutely fine and on the mend.
Yeah, he's just such a nice guy, isn't he? You don't wish it on anyone at all. But, you know, Kenny's such an advocate, and all stuff that him and Marina have both done for the NHS, and, you know, the support they've given to cancer patients and what he's done, you know, for Liverpool and this city has been incredible. So, you know, I think your first panic is someone of that age. You know, you start to panic and you start to worry, don't you? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it came to like that. He didn't even know that he had it. You know, he went in for something completely different, an infection, as you said. And just thankfully that he's all right. And, you know, within 2 days, he was out of hospital. You know, he's fine. He's recovering.
Absolutely, yeah. If you want to send any well wishes to Kenny, by all means, do it in the comments. I'm not certain that he reads, to be perfectly honest. But, I'm saying he reads. I'm just not certain that he reads our comments, but whatever. We're going to move on. This is Anfield.com, the fantastic Liverpool website. That is Anfield.com. Have reported that Liverpool could refund £3.7 million to season ticket holders as part of a £21 million loss. Liverpool are likely to offer refunds to season ticket holders in the region of £3.7 million due to their being unable to attend in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Liverpool are said to generate £17.6 million in season ticket revenue, which could lead to a £3.7 refund for fans based on the remaining four home games, where a match day revenue of £84.2 million means a loss of £21.4 million overall. It's a fair suggestion that clubs could offer a like-for-like discount on next season's tickets, which would effectively stall their loss of outlay, but there's no telling when fans will be able to attend, even in 2021. Yeah, I mean, look, Ross, this is the kind of things that I think we're going to start to see in the coming weeks and months. Football clubs are going to have to start taking definitive action. There's going to be a tightening of the belt in various degrees. We obviously saw Liverpool U-turn on the furlough and stuff. These are the realistic things. It's all well and good talking about Liverpool and the money that it makes, but so much of the money that it makes is money that's paid for up front that will have to be paid back.
Well, you compare it to any other business, I suppose, can't you? You know, look at holidays and stuff like that. People aren't struggling to pay for them and kind of take that back. So those companies are losing that money. It's no different for Liverpool. It's the least that they can do, I suppose. They assuming it looks like it's getting closer. If football games are resumed, they'll be behind closed doors. So if you paid a load of money up front for a service that you essentially can't have, it's the basic thing that Liverpool can do for that. But you're right, you know, that's money they would have banked on, money that, you know, feasibly might have spent, you know, or they might say, well, there's that money on season tickets. That's, you know, X amount of players' wages covered for, you know, one season, two seasons and stuff. And they're going to have to recalculate everything because of what's happened.
Well, you're starting to see it. You know, this is all these things in isolation. Don't, you know, you can go, oh, well, it's only ..
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. But when you start to add that up, when you start to add, you know, season ticket refunds and, you know, again, we go back to the furlough and stuff. And I think, like I said, Liverpool made the morally correct decision. But from a business perspective, I can understand that if I owned, you know, the club shops, you're paying wages on a ton of people who work in the club shops, but the club shop isn't able to operate, isn't able to take any money kind of thing. All of these things are why football clubs are very nervous. And you can start to see why football clubs are, to some extent, keen to find a solution that sees the football season played out. I mean, God, look at the footballers themselves, millions and millions of quid to do what? You know, to sit around and do a couple of Instagram videos every now and again. Yeah, I think it's going to be one to watch in the coming weeks and see how Liverpool do react, mate, to this kind of thing.
It goes a little bit further than that, doesn't it, Paul? Because you think of, like, just the match days. You mentioned the club shop, which, you know, attracts a lot of people. But, you know, even in the build-up to games, you know, you've got the tour people or tour staff. There's hospitality staff. There's, you know, or, you know, corporate hospitality. There's hundreds of people there that, you know, that's income for Liverpool.
Absolutely. Moving on then, Phil Thompson, Liverpool legend Phil Thompson, has urged Jurgen Klopp to bring Felipe Coutinho back to Anfield, saying he would re-sign the Brazilian in a heartbeat. Ross, you weren't overly keen on discussing this because, no. I mean, on the scale of things, there's probably a chart that shows how often you've discussed various topics. And behind Timo Werner and coronavirus, Felipe Coutinho is probably the third most discussed or most often brought up Liverpool topic.
Yeah, he's been to two different clubs, hasn't he? And hasn't succeeded yet. Some people still want him back. I get it, he's a quality player. I can only reiterate what I've said for the past 12 months. For me, it just sends out the wrong message. I get that he's a quality player, but I think for everything beforehand, you know, handed his transfer notice, roll request in the day before the Watford game, you know, the back injuries and stuff like that. But, like, I wouldn't have him back.
Phil Thompson said they are, speaking to Sky Sports, they are probably looking at that creative midfielder, talking about Liverpool's transfer prospects. Would you take Coutinho back? I would in a heartbeat. I think he's a creative genius. You look back at his Liverpool career and he was absolutely terrific. He's not too old and I still think he could come back. It probably won't happen, but it's that creative player just off the front three that would probably just tip the balance. Absolute fucking horseshit. Complete and utter horseshit. I mean, this is the useful thing. I wonder whether, if I was an ex-footballer, with a little bit of, like, you know, media gravity around or gravitas, I would buy stakes in a website, in a sports or media website in this regard, because, like, it's just a nothing throwaway comment from Phil Thompson, and yet he's probably generated many, many thousands of clicks. Anyway, you let us know your thoughts on the Coutinho stuff. We're probably not going to talk about it after toward the end of the show because who gives a fuck? Right, okay. Liverpool Echo. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain makes strange Liverpool admission and sounds Premier League title warning. It's on the Liverpool Echo website, which I'm just going to fill very casually for a moment while I wade through the absolute mountain of pop-ups and garbage that they throw on every single one of their website pages. Here we go. Oxlade-Chamberlain's revealed the inspiration behind Liverpool's remarkable league campaign, but warned it's not finished yet. Exactly in that voice. We're at record 25 points clear. Blah, blah, blah. First of all, it was sort of another heightened respect for Man City as a team. To go 100 points and then 98 back-to-back, that takes a lot of doing. Mentally, as a group of players, I think that's maybe where we thought, all right, 97 points, not good enough. And I remember the manager saying, we've got to do more. Simple as that. He was adamant, that's not enough. You've got to do more. And I think it's credit to us in what we've done so far this season. Obviously, it's a strange time because you don't want momentum. And that's the same for every team at the minute, but it's not finished yet. So I'm really proud of us as a group of lads that we've achieved that, and the manager as well. The whole club backroom staff, they're the same. I've seen everyone pushing harder this year, but that's what the manager's created. There's not one ego in that team. Our superstars are the hardest working, most humble, and most relatable guys in the team. I love that last quote, Ross. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I took that and put it out on my socials before because I thought it was absolutely brilliant. But, you know, it kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? You know, I think it goes back to Kiev as well. You know, we missed out on the Champions League final. Sums up the mentality of the squad and going, actually, well, that wasn't good enough. We'll do better. I know they improved in certain areas of the field, which also contributed to us within the Champions League. But, you know, to put all that hard work in, all that effort, and, you know, second place is a great achievement. 97 points is a great achievement, but not to win the Premier League. What can you do? And, you know, it's laid out there, we'll do better. You know, it sounds pretty simple, but, you know, you're using that to kind of push yourself. And, you know, which he says it himself, a credit to City for doing so well. He's put us onto another level.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Klossman talks to the Liverpool website as well. He was asked a bit about, I mean, were they really scraping the bottom of the barrel? Like, Jürgen, have you enjoyed talking to people online? And he talks about, it's actually quite funny. I think it's what Liverpool are doing really well at the moment is this sort of like behind the scenes, getting a real glimpse of the personality people. Jürgen Klopp's always been the best with that stuff. They talk about the Zoom meetings, I should say, for the training sessions. What I really like about this, Ross, he talks about the togetherness. It's a bit chaotic, but everyone's talking at the same time. It's very funny, isn't it? He says, yeah, some people may say it's like a normal meeting or a normal session we have, but it's not like this. I like that as well. When we start at 10, the chat is open from 9:30 on, and pretty much everyone is already in, especially in the first few. They were all pretty early in the chat. So it was really chaotic. Meanwhile, they join it in later now, and everyone knows how it works technically and stuff like that. So they come later, but in time, which is important because we find them as well. Too late in a Zoom session means you have to pay. I genuinely love that. I would be very poor if there was a fine for every time someone didn't turn up exactly on time for a Skype Zoom session in our business. The mad little things, aren't they? But we've seen it in the social wrap-up videos that have been going out the last couple of Thursdays on this channel, that people are, you know, we're buzzing off watching the players do stuff. They're buzzing off the interactions with each other, and it just goes to show again what a great bunch of lads we've got.
Yeah, they've got to adapt to stuff as well. You know, I think they let them off the first few because, you know, oh, I don't know how Zoom works, or oh, I need to buy a laptop or whatever. You can't get away with it now. But, you know, for such a team-based game, you know, it must be really hard for them to adjust to, you know, spending 4 or 5 days with the mates. And, you know, we talk about that bond, it's not mentally, it's physically as well, and the camaraderie in the change rooms or the training ground to kind of not have that, but kind of keep up the momentum, I think is the key thing. And, you know, you've got to be ready at any point to go back into football. And it was a couple of weeks off yet, but, you know, to brace yourself for that, I think something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Bernardo Silva's been talking, and the Mirror have picked this up, that he believes there is a bias towards Liverpool players when it comes out handing out individual awards. It says he was among the nominees for last season's PFA Player of the Year award, but lost out to the impressive Virgil van Dijk. He also talks about the season before, where Kevin De Bruyne lost out to Mohamed Salah. Salah's debut season. That was the season before, right? Anyway, whatever. The point is that he's making making this point that Liverpool are going to win the league as well this season, likely, so it's probably going to be a Liverpool player again. He says, I hope this is not a bad example and people don't take it badly. Uh-oh. That's always a good start to a sentence when you know something's going to be online. But I always think about the last three seasons, Man City and Liverpool. He told Bleacher Report, three seasons ago, we win the league and they were 30 points behind. Kevin De Bruyne, unbelievable season. Salah scores a lot of goals. He's a great player and I admire him a lot. And they give the award to Mo Salah. I love that. Desperately trying to claw himself out of a hole there before he's even finished talking. Season after, very tight. Raheem Sterling was on the run with Van Dijk. They gave the award to Van Dijk. This season again, Kevin De Bruyne, another unbelievable season. We're behind, but because Liverpool are champions, probably one of them is winning the award again.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I watched the actual video, to be fair. He's got a point to a degree, but Mo Salah scoring 30 goals in the league season as a winger. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's just giving it to anyone, just giving it to a Liverpool player for the sake of doing it. They haven't achieved anything. Van Dijk equally completely changed our whole defence. Uh-huh. Put us in run of a title race. This season, we've absolutely pissed it. Where he didn't help himself was the fact that towards the end of that interview, he says, or the clip, sorry, was De Bruyne in it, has never won the PFA Player of the Year, which is decided by the fucking players. So, where do you go from there? And possibly maybe there's a certain degree to it. There's City are a very good side. I think we can all respect what they've done and how good they've been. Chamberlain says it himself there, but maybe there's also a sense of self-entitlement that they deserve the awards, which is probably a key reason why they don't get them.
Man City are an odd club, aren't they? And this is where I think they get away with stuff, because I don't think anyone has a real depth of feeling about Manchester City, and that's the problem. People really like Kevin De Bruyne. I don't think anyone is in doubt that he's probably the best footballer in the Premier League, all told, or at least in that very, very tight bracket of the total superstars in the Premier League at the moment. But I don't know that people love him. I don't think he has that. I don't think he creates any great feelings in people outside and above and beyond and whatever. Whereas, with the greatest respect, and some of this just comes from red tinted glasses, I'll admit, but Salah and Van Dijk are world icons. And so there is a bias, but I don't think it's necessarily because they're at Liverpool. I think Liverpool helps in that regard. And I think which is good for us because we haven't been that club for a long time. But I do think no one loves Man City, and nobody really hates Man City. They're just a thing, aren't they? So I do think that kind of plays against them.
Yeah, I think personality comes into it, but doesn't it? You see all the stuff that red tinted glasses, Mo Salah does for his country, the fact that he is an icon. I've only heard Kevin De Bruyne talk once. Yeah. That's when he's shouting, let me talk, when he's about to get sent off in a game. But, maybe it's because we don't see that from the Man City perspective. We don't see what he's doing on and off the field. I'm not saying he doesn't do it, but I think you're right. It's definitely a degree of personality and likability about players off the field. It's just as important as on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I just look at the stats. 17 assists and 8 goals and 26 appearances for him this season is absolutely unreal.
Hey, Paul, if he'd won those awards, you wouldn't disagree with it, would you? You'd make a case for Mo Salah going, well, he's scored 30 goals a season. Mm-hmm. He's a winger. Make a case for him, but you wouldn't go De Bruyne's crap, would you?
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing. If Kevin De Bruyne could still win it, by the way, could very much still win it. But you know, there's a lot of other factors to it. And again, I think with the PFA stuff, there's, I think players pick up a lot of like the notions of who's good and who's not in weird ways. There's just popular opinion, I think, sways people a lot of times in these things. And for whatever reason, Jordan Henderson maybe's just had the greater PR this season. Sadio Mane haven't had the reaction to not doing slightly better than like the Ballon d'Or and whatever. These things have knock-on effects. It puts people to the forefront of people's minds.
Also,
I don't know that City have that.
Being champions of the world and current European champions and Premier League champions might be throw it into the mix as well.
100%, absolutely. So let's just get to the last thing we're going to talk about very, very briefly. Tottenham Hotspur have reversed their furloughing decision for non-playing staff. They've reversed the decision to use the government's furlough scheme. On March 31st, they announced the 550 employees would take a 20% pay cut in an attempt to protect jobs. But on Monday, a statement said non-playing staff will receive 100% of their pay for April and May. Only board members will now take salary reductions, the statement added. That includes Daniel Levy, who earned $7 million last year. He said, "We regret any concern caused during an anxious time and hope the work our supporters will see us doing in the coming weeks as our stadium takes on a whole new purpose will make them proud of their club." It's really interesting this, Ross, because the general consensus on this is that this is a result of fan pressure, which is magnificent. The Spurs have got a really, really good like kind of like grassroots organisation. I know they've got the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust, and they have other kind of movements within their fan base or whatever who help give the club a little bit of, I don't know, whatever that X factor is that makes clubs a little bit different. But it's mad, and maybe this is just me living within the Liverpool bubble a bit too much. I didn't see anywhere near as much pressure for Tottenham Hotspur on the wider sense than Liverpool suffered in a much shorter space of time as well.
No, this is something we discussed when Liverpool announced it and announced that they weren't doing it. I think it goes with the ethics and the morals of the club. You know, obviously Liverpool's a massive socialist city. I don't think it's quite the same for Spurs, but I think this is pressure not only off the Spurs fans. I think this is pressure of what Liverpool done. Because Liverpool were so quick to rectify the decision that they made, I think that put more pressure on Spurs to go and do that. And I think, you know, fans of Tottenham will have seen what Liverpool did, what Liverpool fans did to turn that decision around. So I think there's only, is it Norwich, Bournemouth and Newcastle that are left to do it? You know, I don't think anyone in their right mind can see, you know, Mike Ashley changing his mind or not. I think it's different for clubs lower down the league, but you know, when you're a club like Tottenham, I think you can afford to do it. And I also think it's different because it seems to be, depending on what happens this week and what's rumoured, that football might come back behind closed doors in June towards the end of May. I think the clubs can kind of use that as a measure to go, actually, well, in a month's time we can afford this, we can afford to do this, whereas, you know, 2-3 weeks ago when Liverpool did it, when Spurs did it, everyone was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of interesting things happening. And if you want more on this, it's one of the subjects I'm sure you guys are going to be covering on the Reds News Roundup show tomorrow, 60 minutes, really delving into the juicy discussion points around Liverpool and football in general as well. So do go over to the RedBenTV.com and sign up for that show. Obviously, it's the Hillsborough anniversary tomorrow, so we won't be doing too much in terms of promotion or whatever, but if you want that show, do go to the redmantv.com. It will be there from the evening onwards. We're trying to make 7:30 our release time for all this stuff, which puts a nice just casual pressure on the production lads just to make sure that they don't fail. What we're doing is we're going to be introducing a fining system for every minute after 7:30 that these things get released. It's 20p. So yeah, go over there. Right, we're going to take a few comments from you guys and see what you've been thinking about this so far on the Kenny Dalglish stuff. The professor saying, "Bless Kenny, best footballer to grace the Anfield pitch, in my opinion." On season tickets, Rob D, think it'd be a lot more than that, as that's just season tickets. Had tickets for the Villa game Sunday, which is cool. I'm sure they will sort when they can. Oh yeah, it's a good point. You've obviously got like fan cards and all that kind of stuff as well. It's not just season tickets that are going to have to be considered for this stuff, is it, Ross?
No, there's loads that are going to go into it. And it's also the fact that, you know, again, I'm going to bring back to the holiday thing. You know, people have paid all this money out. You know, if they're not getting what they want, but they're in uncertain times as well, they might need that money. So I think there's kind of pressure on the club to kind of sort it out as soon as possible. But again, you know, we're not entirely sure what's going on with the season yet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. The unknown Liverpool fan says, "I think refunding season tickets was the only correct decision that could be made." Yeah, it's weird. And again, it's because when you've paid for something, you forget about it. You know, whereas if you were paying, if you're seeing that, maybe like it's different for like fan cards or stuff, because I'm like, oh, you've got the Auto Cup and it comes out periodically or whatever. I hadn't really considered it, to be honest, because for me it's always money written off. But you're right, at this point in time now, when people are maybe not able to work or whatever, even if it's just a few, you know, what's probably what, a couple, 100 quid, 200 quid maybe, if that. Maybe 100 quid or so could definitely help people out. Bernardo Silva stuff then. I wonder if that, Tom, do we know, is it meant to be Manana Banana, or should we just go Bernardo? Anyway, it's because they had a better individual season than the players they were up against, Bernardo. It's not that difficult fighting back there against the Portuguese. Mega Sting 1981. Don't know why Silva even bothered by the awards at this time when nobody even knows when the season will resume for a start. Yeah, I mean, look, the point is, and you've said you've watched the video, but he's gone out of his way, hasn't he, to kind of, he said it, would we rather footballers just say nothing, I guess? You know, these are the things that are on footballers' minds. I'd rather hear what footballers actually have on their minds, because if they don't say what's on their minds, it's bland enough. Life's bland enough as it is.
Yeah, no, he was obviously asked the question and he was answering it, but he could have answered it in so many different ways. You know, he could have said, you know, I think those players deserve it, but I can't dispute, you know, what Liverpool fans said. I think there's a bias towards City players, or, you know, Liverpool had a really good season, or, you know, as we said, Van Dijk really improved that defence, so I can't argue with that. But, you know, I can make a case with Kevin De Bruyne. It's part of, you know, a level-headed opinion. It just doesn't come across as that at all.
It wouldn't. Yeah, football. The thing about football is, it's always worth noting that they often say things that have just been floating around. We all do this, by the way. When something's been floating around, like your lexicon or floating around your world, it's been discussed in private, and then you get asked, the next person to ask you the question often gets like the next stage in your train of thought. So it wouldn't shock me if he'd been having that conversation with someone else. Maybe De Bruyne has moaned about it, or someone else has said, isn't it mad that De Bruyne has done this and has never won? Or maybe someone was winding De Bruyne up in one of their Zoom meetings and saying, like, ah, you've never won it. And he's took that and gone, I don't really like that, don't really agree with that. I mean, it's interesting that he's not mentioned himself, because he's been pretty garbage this season. But yeah, never mind. Anyway,
he got the award that everybody fucking wants anyway. He won the Premier League, so what's he fucking moaning about?
Absolutely. Spurs furlough stuff. Stephen Somerville says Spurs owners are worse than ours, really. At least we have to quickly reverse the decision, but there will still be heat over it. The Spurs owners should be ashamed of themselves to keep it going. Yeah, look, it boils down to me this. I think Liverpool, it's better expected of Liverpool because of the values and the ethos that the city has, and the club, not that the club necessarily has, because I think it's a bit of a false notion that football clubs can be socialist entities or whatever, but it's how Liverpool market themselves, so they'd have been soft to damage that branding by not doing it. But for other football clubs who just run like pure businesses, I get it. I do. You know, again, no one's queuing around the block to batter Costa Coffee for not having these things open and stuff. Like, you know, it's just that we have a greater affinity, and but also there's a lot of like tribal banter that comes with the football stuff. So it's good that they haven't chosen to do it. From the same token, that I'm glad Liverpool haven't chosen to do it. But equally, you know, again, if it means a situation, let's say, for example, Newcastle suddenly steal a march on Spurs next season. They won't, because they're miles behind it all and they've got Steve Bruce as manager. But if that were to happen, they're the fine margins at which what massively separates a Tottenham Hotspur from a Newcastle United, because they've got similar sized stadiums. They've probably got similar sized fan bases. Tottenham have got a better structure in place, a better playing staff at the moment. But we've seen that can change in a number of years. So, yeah, it'd be funny to see if Mike Ashley being a massive gobshite has any positive impact on them in the months to come.
I think the marketing thing is important as well, because if Spurs have taken so long to do that, what's the lasting damage that they've done? You know, if people remember that in 4 or 5 months' time of what Spurs did in a time of crisis, mm-hmm. the system, people might be reluctant to spend the money in there, but, you know, in a year's time, it might all be forgotten, mightn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a shame that we don't get to use the whole we paid for your players line on social media forever and ever and ever, if that was the case. So, yeah. Anyway, right, then, we're going to wrap things up there. Do head to BF52.com. Redmen.com and use /redmen to get your, not just your 8 free beers, your 10 total free beers, and your snack and your magazine as well, but just the price of $4.95 of postage. Make sure you do go over to the redmentv.com and sign up as well. It does help us keep everything running at the moment in times when, you know, football and life is a little bit more uncertain on our side of things. If you're a big fan of the content, if you're a big fan of us as people, and you don't want to see us have to furlough, then please do go to the redmentv.com and sign up. Hey, listen, you know what I mean? Just dropping it on you, Ross. If you want to see Ross kept in employment, then please do go to the redmentv.com and sign up. But yeah, we'll be back with more Redmen news this week. We'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.